Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, son of Iddo. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. That's a good part. I got that underlined right there. You got your Bible out, you might want to underline that. Do not be like your forefathers to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, this is what the Lord Almighty says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. That's what their forefathers had going on. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Where are your forefathers now? Answer is dead. And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants and the prophets, overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we are indeed people that are surrounded by evil practices and sin, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning. Lord, as we are in process, your Spirit would guide and teach and speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would come this morning and speak to our hearts and lead us, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Mr. Roki, do you not hit mute on the soundboard? Would you hit mute Gail's keyboard, please? It's like number... I don't know, I got a little hiss going on back there. That's fine. We'll just... I'll deal with that. Anybody else hear that hiss? Is it just me? Let me try and fix it. It's bugging me. It's really loud. That's it. Ta-da! I started a series 2 weeks ago on Second Chance. We are talking about the second chance for the Israelites. The first chance they blew, and the first temple was destroyed. And so they have a second chance, and they are building the second temple. Here, people... New Christians, Walter, you hear people talking about the second temple. This is it. Talking about the temple that Zerubbabel and Zechariah and all them guys are all involved in. You go, oh yeah, I know what the second temple is. But, and then we're talking at the third temple because the second temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. The third temple is one that will be rebuilt in the future in Jerusalem. Now, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the prophecies and what is coming to pass, and how, in essence, the Bible, you can read the Bible in the news these days. We studied about the 70 years of captivity in which the temple was destroyed and the Israelites or the Hebrews were taken into Babylon for 70 years. And it was because of, there's a Hebrew word here, Shemitah. The Shemitah is a seventh-day Sabbath that is for the land. And all the time, there were many Shemitahs that the Hebrews did not practice. And that is where you did no work for the whole year. And the farmers did not plant, and the farmers did not sow, and you would just glean, and you would put your focus on the Lord. And the land would get rest. And so the Hebrews had fallen into idolatry, their kings, and it was just really, really, really bad. And so the Lord brought this judgment upon the Holy Land, upon Israel, and it lasted for 70 years, which were the Shemitahs that they had missed. And so we talked about Shemitah 2 weeks ago. And interestingly enough, if you go back to the housing crisis of 2008, it was a year of Shemitah. And the housing crisis hit in September, the month the Shemitah starts. You go back 7 years previous to that, 2001, the stock market crash. The year Shemitah crashed in September, in the month of Shemitah. We talked 2 weeks ago how this is the year of Shemitah. And it starts on September 13th. This is what today? Today is what, the 23rd, right? 20 days, right? And I talked about how economists, worldwide economists, they're going, man, things are looking a little bit shaky. And I don't know how many of you are following the news, but on Thursday, the Dow Jones dropped 300 points. Everybody's going, whoa. On Friday, it dropped 500 points. And all the gains for 2015 have been wiped out. And it's not even Shemitah yet. I'll tell you what, folks. It is getting to be rather interesting as we take a look at the prophetic utterances of the Lord and what He says is coming. And when you look at the news, you can see it. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to talk about that a little bit today. The title of today's message is Halfway Home. Talking about building the second temple. They had indeed had the opportunity to come back to the Holy Land through King Cyrus. Many had returned. 50,000 had returned. And they had been blessed. They had started work on the altar. And things were rolling good. They started building the temple, and their neighbors came and said, hey, we want to help. And said, no. It's a God thing. God's people are going to do it. So they began to come against God's plan for His people and for His temple. And the people rolled over on it. And as we've been talking about today, that there is opposition to what God has in store for you. And there's a lot of people that just roll over on it. It's too hard. And for 18 years, there was no progress on God's temple in God's place. And we took a look at the book of Haggai, which was written in, there's four prophecies, two on the same day, but they were written, Haggai's prophecies are written on the 6th month, the 7th month, and the 9th month. Of the second year of Darius, king of Persia. That is in 520 B.C. What we read today, I don't know if you picked it up or not, Zechariah said, he talked about the 21st day or 24th day of the 8th month. So what you've got is the prophecy of Haggai, 6th month, 7th month, and then on the 8th month, you got the prophecy of Zechariah. Okay? In the 9th month, we talked last week about how the people had indeed relined up on the Lord to say, we're going to do this. And on the 9th month, God says, I want you to check all this out. Before now, you guys have been working real hard for yourselves. And He says, how's it working out for you? Because you come to a measure where there's supposed to be, or a storage area where there's supposed to be 50 measures, only 20. He says, you work so hard, you put your money in your pocket. It's like putting your money in a pocket with holes in it. And your money's just spread out. It's not working. He says, I want you to consider this day, this 24th day of the, let's say, 9th month. This day I'm going to bless you. This day everything is going to change. And so there is this shift in the lives of the Hebrews. They are halfway home. They have completed the foundation of the temple. And the Lord is saying, I'll read your heart, I'll read your purpose, I'll read your desires, and today I'll start to bless you. Now, we come to the rest of Zechariah, chapter 1 through chapter 6. And this prophecy comes in the 11th month. All right, so we're talking 520 B.C., and we're talking, in Zechariah, it's like 14 chapters, 16 chapters. But so the first part of Zechariah and all of Haggai, man, they're just lined up right there in this point of transition when the people of the Hebrews, the people of God, had come back from Babylon after 7 years of captivity, they get to God's place and they don't do God's thing. And they're not blessed. They're halfway home. See, one thing, when you're halfway home, you're halfway lost. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, you're halfway home, you're headed the wrong direction, you are lost. And when you're halfway home, you want to be sure that you are headed in the right direction. And what we are looking at in the lives of the Hebrews and in the history of Jerusalem, that they're halfway and they're headed in the right direction. God says, I'll take you home. I'll bless you. We will accomplish the plans that I have for you. And that's a message that we can hear today. So in the 11th month, God begins this new thing. And he says, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Not only now, but in 500 years and more. We have seen a portion of this. And a portion of it we're seeing right now. Amen?
Amen.
We're halfway home. Let's take a look. All right. Zechariah 11:1-11 through 15. And there's some good stuff from verses 7 through 10, but I had to pick and choose on this. It says, and they reported to the angel of the Lord. They sent out horsemen all over the world and kind of assessing what's going on. And they come back and report to the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees. We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace. Then the angel of the Lord said, Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with these 70 years? So the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. And the angel who was speaking to me said, proclaim this word. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. God's going to take some steps towards Jerusalem, and he's doing it because the enemies of the Hebrews are at peace. And these are the very enemies that were barring progress on the construction of the temple, that they wanted to help and they wouldn't let them help because they were far from the Lord and their motivations were wrong. And so the priest said no, Ezra said no, Nehemiah said no, you can't help. And there's this battle that came and they began to lobby against them. Read in Ezra chapter 4 verse 5. They hired counselors to work against them and frustrate their plans during the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, to the king of Darius, king of Persia. And so what they did was, is they were frustrating the people of God. And it's as if working in this church, there are people that would come by, and there are agents of the enemy, I will say, that would come by and seek to destroy your desire to participate in the plan of God that he is working out here. You rolling with me? See, Paul says that we fight a spiritual battle. And so often we just, spiritual battle, kind of put in the back of your head. Realize that there is an enemy of your soul. And that enemy of your soul is the enemy of that wonderful little girl called Willow. I got a hug from Willow today. You know what? I left my little Willow. There's a little kid out here with his dad, and he's like, he's got these funky light blue sunglasses on, little hat. He's like this tall. I said, how old is your boy? He said, 2. I said, you know, my 2-year-old boy is 6'4". And I left him at college yesterday. I said, hug that kid. You know what? The enemy of your soul is the enemy of Willow's soul, and the enemy of that little kid, and the enemy of my little kid that's 6'4", and the enemy of everybody that is walking around in this community.
Yeah. That's right.
Don't lose sight. There was opposition to the plan of God. God says, you know what? I'm getting a little bit tired of this. He says, I am jealous for Jerusalem. He says, and you're going, wait a minute, God is jealous? Well, that jealousy is a function of God's love. I'll tell you what, Karina, right? And she sees, Jair, right, getting pushed around. I'll tell you what, she's not just sitting around there going, yeah, he's getting pushed around here. No, man, she's coming. That's for my kid, right? She's jealous for her kid. God is jealous for Jerusalem. He says, ah. Now, he's been disciplining him for 70 years. You discipline Jair, right? Oh, yeah, I bet she does. He says, you just sit right there. Somebody else speaks to him that way? No. Because she's doing a discipline, and now when the discipline is done, she wants him to flourish. God's discipline for Jerusalem is done, and he's looking for Jerusalem to flourish. And he sees these enemies, these nations coming against and trying to hold down his people. He says, I'm not having that. He says, I'm jealous for Jerusalem. I'm coming. I'm bringing mercy, and I'm bringing provision. That's good, amen? Amen? I want to be on that whole mercy thing. I want to be on the provision of God. I want to see that stuff, prosperity coming from God. See, when you line up on God, he says, I'll line up on you. When you're halfway, you want to make sure you're lined up on home. Amen? Amen. It'll get you there. All righty, here we go. Jerusalem will receive the glory of God. I want you to just think for a minute. The glory of God. Wait. Pretty good worship this morning. Amen?
Amen.
What did you say, Tommy?
Glory,
right? Can you imagine that same worship with the glory of God shining forth from the platform, visible, resonating, pulsing with the music, the glory of God. That's what God says is going to happen with Jerusalem, that I will live there. I just had to read it for you, huh? It says, I looked up and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. I asked, where are you going? He answered me, to measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and long it is. And then the angel who was speaking to me left, and another angel came to meet me and said to him, run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord. I will be its glory. Now he says, take a measuring line. And I want you to think of that angel with the measuring line. I want you to think of Mike Henson with a measuring tape. Because what that signifies is God is going to do a project. God is going to build something. God is going to make something. He's going to make something in Jerusalem. And he says, I want you to see this city that I'm going to make. It's not going to have any walls. It's going to be so massive. It's going to have so many people and so much livestock that the walls are not going to be big enough to contain it. That's a cool picture. Can I get a witness on that? And I just got to throw in the glory part. Well, I'm going to come back to the glory part. But we got to ask ourselves. Now, if you came to prayer meeting, Pastor Paul was talking about building the walls. Ezra and Nehemiah, build the temple, build the walls. And indeed, Nehemiah leads a project, 21 days, in which the walls are completed. 21? 56?
52.
Jerusalem has walls. We say, Zechariah, what are you talking about? Jerusalem with no walls. He says, I myself will be a wall of fire around it. And what we realize is that what Zechariah is talking about has not yet happened. Because when we talk about prophecy, this is 500 years before Christ, and in the prophetic utterance of the coming of Christ, we say, oh yeah, we know about that. You know about that, right? Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, led a sinless life, died on a cross so that your sins might be forgiven. That's a good news, amen? They didn't know about that yet. That was a prophecy. There are many prophecies about the coming Messiah. But he's coming back a second time. Can I get a witness on that? Where do we read about that? We read about that in the book of Revelation. You see here, it says what? And I myself will be his glory, right? See, Zechariah, what are you talking about? Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. We see that I did not see a temple in the city. And the city he's talking about is Jerusalem. And everybody knows that Revelation, much of Revelation, we are awaiting for fulfillment. Amen? And so he says, Apostle John says that I have seen these things that are coming to pass. He says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That's a good picture. Can I get a witness? You take a ruling line and you put it down and say, ain't no temple in Jerusalem. Ain't no walls in Jerusalem. I will be the walls. I'll be fire around the edge, and I will be its glory. And you keep on reading in Revelation, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Amen. And you see, 520 years before Christ, how the prophecies of Zechariah line up with the vision that the Apostle Paul gets on the island of Patmos. What did I say? Oh, my bad. It's a bad thing to have diabetes, guy. You got to preach with notes. But you see, separated by almost 600 years, because those prophecies that come to the Apostle John come late in that first century. Separated by time. But the Holy Spirit's right in the book, and the Holy Spirit lines it all up. Amen?
Amen.
And so what we want to see is that there is prophecies that have been fulfilled. And there's prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. That we're waiting on. See, we're halfway home. When you're halfway, you want to make sure you're headed in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
I like to think we're halfway home on the old Super 88, 1963. We did some painting on it this week. My son is gone. JJ's learning how to sand. See, because you paint the car, and then you got to sand the paint until it shines. Joe even sent me a little text. How's JJ doing on the car? See, you sand it with like 1,000 grit sandpaper, which is probably finer than any sandpaper you've ever touched. And then you sand it with 1,200 grit to take out the scratches from 1,000 grit. And then you sand it with 1,500 grit to take out the scratches from the 1,200 grit, and then you sand it with 2,000 grit to take out the scratches from the 1,500 grit, and then you can buff it. We're halfway home. When you're halfway, you got to make sure that you're doing everything you can to make sure you finish. Amen?
Amen.
So we got work to do, and Joe's happy that JJ is doing it. Yes, he is. All right. God will move against Israel's enemies. We continue moving on, and much of this stuff is in the future. Come, O Zion, escape, you who live in the daughter of Babylon. For this is what the Lord Almighty says. After he has honored me and sent me against the nations that have plundered you, whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. I will surely raise my hand against them so that their slaves will plunder them. And then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming and I will live among you, declares the Lord. God tells his people to come home. There was the open door. Cyrus had opened the door and said, anybody wants to go back to Jerusalem can go. And Zerubbabel had led a group of people, and they had gone back, and they had resources, and they had all this stuff to go back and build the second temple. But there were many who stayed in Babylon. God says it's time to come home because bad things are on the way. In fact, Bible tells us, or history tells us, how Alexander the Great came and conquered the Persian Empire. In fact, you can read about the progression from Babylon to Persia to Alexander the Great to Rome in the book of Daniel. That he shows the progression, and he shows the judgment of God and how God moves in history. Amen?
Amen.
Come on home. Because my eye is on Jerusalem. I'll protect Jerusalem. Because when bad things happen, you want to make sure you're under the covering of the Lord.
That's right.
Judgment comes. Rapture of the church comes. There are, I believe, some of God believes. My wife's not such a believer. Oh, she's a believer, but she doesn't believe in the rapture of the church.
What?
She says, I hope for the rapture, but I'm planning to have to maybe go. Well, you talk to my wife, and she'll tell you all her.
Let's verify.
What now? You just don't believe when it's going to happen. There you go. Okay. The little lesson here, you got pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture. Where the rapture, where the church is taken up, you know, there's a trumpet blast, going to meet Jesus in the air. And pre-tribulation, the tribulation is a seven-year period in which the Antichrist is revealed and bad things happen. When bad things happen, you want to make sure you're under the covering of the Lord. Amen? And so, hey, halfway home, make sure you're headed in the right direction. Good things will be happening. Amen? All righty. So, it says here that there will be safety in the presence of the Lord, and he says, I will come and live among you. We ask ourselves, has this happened? Because realistically, Jesus, as he was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, he fulfilled many prophecies that are in the Old Testament. But he never really lived. He walked in Jerusalem. He visited Jerusalem, but he never really lived there. So we ask ourselves, is this prophecy targeting a future time? See, in Jesus' time, the Romans were in charge of Jerusalem. And realistically, the Romans were plundering Jerusalem. And that's in direct contradiction to this prophecy of Zechariah. Doesn't really fit, but let's keep on going. We'll read verses 11 through 13. It says, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day. In that day is the day of the Lord. And he says, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be still, therefore, the Lord. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. See, and the Lord promises a day of change. And this is something new. We haven't seen this yet. This is a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. We can continue reading in Revelation chapter 1. This is the verse that is right after 22:23, which we read before. It says, the nations will walk by its light. We're talking about what? The glory of the Lord in Jerusalem. Amen? So as he said, I will be their light. And the Lamb will be its lamp, right? And then we go right in here. The nations will walk. We see what? Many nations will join with the Lord in that day. And so again, as they are parallel in Zechariah, we see the parallel in the book of Revelation. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into the New Jerusalem. This has not happened yet. This happens at the culmination of the tribulation when Jesus comes back and defeats Satan and the false prophet and the beast. And all the nations that are arrayed with them. And begins a reign, a 1,000-year reign on earth. In which he is the light of Jerusalem. That just sounds good, doesn't it? Get a picture of that and say, man, I want to be part of that. There's good stuff that's coming up, folks. There's good things that the Lord has shown us that is going to happen. We're halfway there. Got to make sure you're headed in the right direction. If I could paint you a picture of how this might be, would you just picture that old Super 88, sanded, polished by JJ, the chrome, polished, shining, cruising on down the road. Oh yeah. It's going to be nice when we get home. Make sure you get there, folks. Amen. He's going to use people. He says, Abraham will become a great nation, great and powerful nation. All the nations on earth will be blessed through him. He says, I'm going to pour out my glory on people. And they will shine. Problems with the plan. Problems with that Super 88. I don't want to bore you with them. Talk to my wife. She will let you know. Going to Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. And then he said to Joshua, see, I've taken away your sin. That's a problem. Amen? Sin is a problem. Amen? Sin will get in the middle in between you and the plan of the Lord. Sin will keep you from getting home. When you are halfway, sin will get you off track, headed in the wrong direction. Are you tracking with me now? I just needed to get a witness there. Thank you. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. I've taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. And then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. There's always a problem with sin. Notice, Satan is there to mess it up. It is very similar to the picture that we have in Job, where Satan is standing in the throne room of God, and God says to Satan, what do you think of Job? And Satan is right there as he's talking about Joshua. He is right there to bring accusation. Look at this filthy guy. And he says, and Joshua stands there, and you can miss this. Joshua stands there as a representation of all of the Hebrews. And he says, is this not a burning stick snatched from the fire? Have I not rescued them from Babylon? Have I not taken them out of harm's way so that I might do a great and glorious thing? And he says, take his filthy clothes off of him. There's sin that needs to be addressed. I got a picture for you. Now that's mud. And they do these mud things and stuff. That's just some dude playing in mud. But it's an image. That's a dirty man. Can I get a witness on that? The word that is used in the Bible is so. I mean, we got various words for dirty. There's dusty. There's dirty, grimy, soiled, filthy. Hebrew word so is the most extreme word that can be used for filth. The word is tied, get this visual, to excrement. And you see how filthy Joshua would be. And you see how filthy the nation of Israel would be. And you see Satan standing there going, "See? See?" And the Lord says, "Clean them up. Take off those filthy clothes. Put on some new clothes. Put a new turban." I was going to try and get a turban today. I have no clue how to put a turban on. Who does? Really? Wow, next time. Next time I do Zechariah, I'll talk to you. God says, "I can deal with filth. I know filth is coming. Don't let filth be a barrier to getting home." Never too dirty for God. Amen? Amen. All right. God's servant will make a change. Chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Last of our texts. Actually, I got some verses below this, but last of our texts in Zechariah says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in my ways." Who's he talking to? That guy. Remember, he's talking to this guy. The tso guy. The filthy guy. He says, "If you walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge over my courts." Who's he talking to? He's talking to a guy like me. He's talking to a guy like you. Doesn't matter how dirty you are. God can clean you up. He says, "If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch." Gets good. "See the stone?" Heard about the stone, amen? I lay a precious cornerstone. Amen. You remember that part? "See, the stone I have set in front of Joshua, there's seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave it. I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day." Servant of the Lord will make a change. "Keep my ways, you'll be my priest. No matter how filthy you are, I'll cleanse you. Joshua and all your friends that are arrayed here, you represent what I would do in the future. You are symbolic." He said, "If there are a soiled people, I will cleanse them. If they would obey my commands, they will reign with me." Amen? Yeah. See, if you're halfway home, you want to make sure that you are pointing in the right direction, because if you're halfway home, it's easy to get lost. But if you obey my requirements, if you follow my precepts, you will reign with me. Because why? Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." God is still looking for priests. And he makes priests out of who? Slaves. Slaves to sin. I don't care how dirty you are. I can clean you up. He says, "See, I have a stone. See, I lay a stone in Zion that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." That stone will take you from halfway all the way home. Amen? Amen. Jesus is coming back for his own. You're halfway. Don't get lost today. Don't get lost halfway home, because you got to be pointed in the right direction or you'd just be lost. Last thing, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the branch, the precious branch. the stone that comes. God will change it all in a day. Day of the Lord. Day of the Lord starts when Jesus came on a cross. Day of the Lord culminates when Jesus comes back for His own. Take us all the way home. Amen?
Amen.
Lisa, you want to come up and play? Bible is in the news. And it's not just in the stock market. We read of a treaty with Iran. If you read about, you read in the Bible, you don't read about Iran. What you read about is Persia, Babylon. Read in the, sometimes in the news you hear about Babylon, but realistically when you're reading about Babylon, you're reading about Iraq. So you got Persia and you got Babylon in the news today, and you got Syria. Syria's all over the text. Syria's all over the news. And there are those that read the prophecies like from Zechariah and Isaiah, and they say, man, everything is just lining up. We are rapidly running into a time in which Israel stands alone, surrounded by her enemies, and the angel of the Lord would come to her rescue. Oh, I see the United States, our leadership, moving us away from Israel. And I'm telling you, that is a scary place to be. But it is one that is to be expected, because Israel will stand alone. The United States will not be there. I don't know how it happens. But on that day, God will be jealous for Jerusalem. Amen? We're halfway. This stuff is going on. It's exciting to see. Many of you are headed in the right direction. I'll tell you what, I'm excited. Jesus coming back, rapture the church. I want to jump. Get up there quick. I know many of you I've talked to. I talked to Aaron. Aaron's down there teaching. He goes, man, I think about the rapture. I think about the second coming. I get happy about Jesus coming back. I hope you hear this morning about Jesus coming back and you have an excitement and an anticipation and an expectation in your soul. Because you're halfway. He'll take you home. But if you're headed the wrong way, right now this morning, the Holy Spirit is like squeezing your heart. He's going, watch out. Just like he said to the Jews that stayed in Babylon, you better come home. Because God's jealous for Jerusalem. Bad things are coming. You need to be under the covering of the Lord. Amen? Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning knowing that you have messages and a purpose for the Hebrews, Lord, that they would shine your glory. And Lord, that those messages have meaning for us today. We thank you that your branch came, that a stone came, that we stumbled over, that we might be righted and made fresh and new, that I have been cleansed. As that man was covered with mud, needs to be cleansed, and so many of us have been cleansed by you. I thank you this morning, Lord, being halfway and headed in the right direction. Perhaps you're here this morning and you feel a little off track. Holy Spirit this morning is saying, watch out, better come home. You've been playing. Little dirty. Time to come home. Nobody looking around this morning and you're off track. Holy Spirit speaking to your heart saying, watch out. You're saying, Lord, that's not me. Lord, I'm dirty. I need to be cleansed, Lord. I want to line up on you. I want to be have a part in your house. I want to be a priest for you. I want to serve you. I want to be part of the team, Lord.